أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين، شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين، محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, the best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The topic that we have at this point is about the sahabiyat, the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And inshallah, to do this topic its due, or to do it justice inshallah, I must start with an introduction here. And it's very important. It is directly related to this topic, but into Islam generally speaking as well. And that is, my brothers and sisters, we must differentiate and we must distinguish between what is cultural and what is Islamic, what our customs say and what does Islam say, and not take our customs, our cultures, and bring them into the fold of Islam and expect everyone to follow our custom or our culture in that aspect as making it part of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Islam, when Islam came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there were many customs that were spread amongst the people of Mecca or Medina or wherever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not ask people to change every aspect of their culture. Rather, some people do certain things and they are, it complies with the teachings of Islam, so Islam would approve of it. On some things people would do and it opposes the teachings of Islam, and regardless of how many people or who is doing it, they absolutely have no value because they oppose the teachings of the Quran or the teachings of Islam generally. That is why, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arabs were known to be very generous people. When they have a guest over, they would, you know, honor their guest. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come and he would use that good gesture as a way of introducing Islam to people. They would ask him, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you calling people to?" So he said, "You know, I call people to la ilaha illallah wa ikram al-dayf. I call people to say la ilaha illallah, or to accept la ilaha illallah, and I also call them to what? To honor their guests." You know, this is the tradition that these people had, but since it complied with the teachings of Islam, now it is of a higher status. It's no longer something that is cultural, but this is a culture that is being approved by the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, to the contrary, depending on where we came from, we come here and we bring with us our culture as well, that we have blended into our deen. And then we make it part of our deen, by which we judge other people or we judge other actions. And this thing, my brothers and sisters, and please, I really do not plan or intend to offend any one of you, but part of how we have been treating our sisters lately, be it our mothers, be it our daughters, be it our wives or our sisters, we have brought that in with us. And we really do not heed to what Islam says, and as a result, we have done them a lot of injustice. And I regretfully I say this. I say that, you know, in Islam, Muslims, lately we have done a great injustice to our sisters, be it wives, be it sisters, or be it mothers, or be it daughters. And I think this injustice that we have done generated from two things. Either fabricated hadith that we have taken to be sound hadith and we have applied it, or be it some of the cultural baggage that we were taught, be it here or be it somewhere else. Let me give you an example of what I mean. For example, there are many hadith that says that women should not be taught and they should only be taught ghazl. مين عارف ايش الغزل؟ الغزل ايوه اي اي. What is ghazl? Huh? Sewing. Shukran. Sewing. So that women should not be taught, what do you call it? they shouldn't be taught. They should not be taught. The only thing that they are good for is sewing. And they mention this as a hadith. Or you have a statement that is related, or that is يعني إيش نسبت؟ Yeah, trace back to the statement that traced back to so-called. They mean it's a so-called tracing back to Ali ibn Abi Talib, where he says شاوروهنّ ثم خالفوهنّ. It's saying consult them, meaning your wives, and then oppose them, meaning that take your, you know, have them speak out, have them air whatever it is that they want, but then when it comes to the implication or application, don't pay attention to what they say. And of course we see that it violates the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also in the Quran, as we are going to see. And as a result, we have seen these ahadith, and they are fabricated ahadith, we have seen them having a great impact on the ummah. Did you know that in Egypt, for example, women were not allowed to go to school? They were not allowed to attend school, simply relying on this hadith. And the people who were leading the opposition that women should never go to school were the shuyukh of that time. They were the scholars of that time, or so-called scholars of that time, until the secular movement, they came in and they said, you know what? And they, of course, they did a good job in advertising for their agenda. But part of it was, you know, they are human beings, that they deserve to be taught. But the sad part is, though Islam taught us طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم, that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, and of course it includes Muslim in it as well. Hadith طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلم ضعيف. The hadith where it says that seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim male and female, it's a weak hadith. But then the hadith that says seeking knowledge is an obligation upon every Muslim, that is an authentic hadith, and it's also general, and in it encompasses all men and women. And here you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where the term ilm and its derivatives are mentioned over hundreds, almost about 600 times in the Quran, yet we choose, in the name of deen, in the name of Islam, we choose to deprive our sisters from this deen. And there is a community here in America, believe it or not, that they only allow their daughters to go to school up to the fourth grade. After the fourth grade, they take them out of the school. This is happening here in America. Fourth grade, and that is the end of it. Well, why is that? If she needs to write me a letter, then she can do it. And if I send her a letter, she is able to read it. And that is the end of it. And we are doing this in the name of Islam. So we have this fabricated hadith that we brought in with us. And then along with that, we also have the cultural baggage that we brought in with us, which was very unfair back then, and unfortunately now as well. You know that in the Arab tradition, and this is a famous example that you all know, it's a classical one, where they say that women were prohibited from inheritance. They would not inherit anything. And they would even say this in poetry, أَبْنَاءُ أَبْنَائِنَا أَبْنَاؤُنَا وَأَبْنَاءُ بَنَاتِنَا أَبْنَاءُ الرِّجَالِ الْأَبَاعِدِ. They would say that the sons of our sons are our sons, but the sons of our daughters are their daughters. Meaning that when you marry within the family, the money stays within the family. When the man gets married, the money stays within the family. But then they say the children of our daughters, they were even deprived, because our daughter is going to get married from an outsider. So now she become his, and her children are his. They're not part of us. So rightfully, we give the inheritance only to our children and not to our daughters. And there is a funny story that was mentioned, that when the verses of inheritance were revealed, وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ, and also women have a share of what was left by the parents and the relatives. Some of the companions, you know, because they were new to this, they were very bothered by this. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إنهن لا يحملن قوسا ولا يركبن يسرسا فعلى ما يرثن. So the Prophet of Allah, they cannot throw a spear, they cannot throw an arrow, and they do not ride horses. Why are they getting a share of the inheritance? Meaning that they do not physically participate in defending the tribe. So why are they, you know, why do we give them anything? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the surah to them, and the surah was concluded faridatan min Allah, that this is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as such, you know, they have submitted and they have accepted that. But it remains that we have done them a great injustice. And now this great injustice that we have done, be it for the cultural baggage, be it for the ahadith that we have used, we take this, and as a result, we have limited what our sisters are capable of in very trivial things, and in very, you know, in very almost no significant whatsoever. I'll give you an example. Whenever we speak to sisters, whenever we talk to sisters, what comes to mind? We usually mention the issue of hijab. We usually mention that they have to raise their children. And we talk about what they can and what they cannot do during that time of the month. And we mention, and it just keeps it very trivial, and it keeps it very repetitive. And I have heard it over and over. They say, you know, the speakers that come to speak to us women, it would be the same speaker. The quality that is presented to the brothers is different than the quality that is presented to the sisters. And as if we are told that we are not capable of understanding what the brothers are able to understand. And subhanAllah, now when I look back to it, I say that is exactly true. Like, for example, if you just get a book that has to do with issues related or issues relevant to women, what do they talk about? What is mostly mentioned there? Let's talk about, you know, again, same thing. The hijab, specifications of the hijab in great details. Then it talks about the importance of being a good wife. Then it talks about the importance of raising your children. And then what you can and what you cannot do during that time of the month. And that is it. Almost limiting them to that part. One time a great Muslim scholar, he put it beautifully. He said, Islam is like a bird. And in order for it to fly, it needs two wings. But us Muslims, we chose to break one of our wing, and we cannot fly with the other one. And here he is referring to men and women. And one of them, even he put it beautifully, and he said, number-wise, men and women are 50-50. So he said they are 50% of the population. And he said, on the other hand, they help in raising the other 50% of the population. So he said, here we have 100% that we choose to disregard. Okay, so it has gotten very sad. And when I look back into the history of the female companions, and what was said in the Quran about them, what was said by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that regard, I will find that we have done them injustice, and they have done themselves injustice as well. For example, Umar ibn Khattab used to say, قَبْلَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ مَا كُنَّا نَعُدُّ النِّسَاءَ شَيْئًا. He said that before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we did not consider women at all, period. We just never considered them. He said, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ جَعَلَهُنَّ مِعْيَارًا لِلْخَيْرِيَّةِ. But he said, amazingly, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, part of the scale that was used to see how good we are as men was how we treated our women. That's when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خيركم خيركم لنسائه. The best amongst you are those who are best to their families, especially, you know, to their wives. And here you have Umar saying that from not being considered at all, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes and tells us that themselves now they become the criterion that determines, or one of the criterions that would determine how good a man, you know, a man is. And it's very sad that many times, you know, we would be at the service of anyone in the community. We would have a big smile, you know, whenever we come to the masjid. We would be ready to help anyone, you know. Person needs a ride, a person needs this fixed, a person needs to be taken someplace. We are always at their service. But when it comes to our family, then that's a different story. She does not get a ride. She does not get this, that. She does not, almost to the point where we are almost what they call as a schizophrenic. You know, we have one personality outside the house, and then we come into our house, we have another.